You're somebody that was brought up in it, as I understand, and well-learned in it. So it is a deceiving time, and we want to know the truth. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you for coming tonight, Brother Vic, if you would.
So grateful to be here and share this with you, because there is a lot of fear regarding it. And the God I worship isn't sitting there wringing his hands over this. We need to be aware that the quotes that you shared, Lida, are just the ones that are highly controversial. There's a load of stuff in there that is right on, and if you threw all the stuff of the course out, you would have to throw the Bible out too. So you see, the devil has the ability to mix in truth with falsity. So we have to be rather discerning. This is also going to be a testimony. And a lot of you may not know what kind of background I had, and I'm going to weave in the things that you're wanting to know tonight with my story. And I think you're going to get a broader picture that may be helpful in how to deal with those who you might need to witness to. I loved my parents. They were like God to me. They provided all my physical needs and emotional needs, and they gave me plenty of comfort, nurturing, and love. And their views became my views, and I believed all that they said. I followed them with confidence even when they journeyed away from the real Jesus, trading him off for strange doctrines. I don't know if they rejected traditional church out of rebellion from the truth, or if they just got battered by too many threats of fire and brimstone sermons that neglected a balance of grace and love. Whatever their problem, they became weary of the sound doctrine of the Nazarene church to which they belonged and its fundamentalist teachings. And Dad began to search for a religion that made him feel better. One Sunday at a Unity church, as they listened to a soft-spoken lady minister, Dad passed a note to my mom which said, "This is it." The Unity faith was established by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore at the turn of the century. It is a religion in which followers believe that all the characters and places in the Bible have been given what is called metaphysical interpretation. Now, to them, every character in the Bible represents some aspect of our mentality, our minds, and they consider the Bible as a mere guide to unraveling the code of how our minds work. It culminates with Jesus, who in the Unity movement represents the Christ within us. To them, when he dies on the cross, this represents our dying to the worldly things, mammon, if you will. And there is nothing wrong with that. Through Christ, the worldly things must die. But Unity misses the point of salvation, the real nails pounded into his real hands as he really died for our real sins. It misses the blood shed for all of us on the cross. Because of the unity faith is rooted deeply in a need to understand everything on an intellectual level, the simple, pure truth that God sent his Son to die in our place, making atonement for our sins, is missed or neglected. It is passed on by in favor of a more pleasing and comfortable interpretation. Salvation is reduced then to something we achieve by intellectually understanding its interpretation rather than by humbling ourselves to admit we are sinners in need of a Savior. My parents were so excited about this feel-good religion, Dad sold his thriving commercial art business and we moved to Missouri so they could both become Unity ministers. So began my mental training, my indoctrination into a religion that appeared to give me control over my world. Unity believes that there is power in using affirmations and denials. I was trained to get what I wanted through affirming the things that I wanted and resisting the things I did not want through denial. I was ingrained with the practice of taking charge of my life through positive thinking and mentally exerting my will. Basically, we were making ourselves sovereign rather than God. This was my way of life for many years. Isn't it awesome that God could get a hold of me? I just want to say that. I was taught that negative thinking was counterproductive and sent forth negative energy. Isn't it awesome that God can get a hold of all those people getting ready to go through this year-long course in deception? Isn't it awesome that God can do this? Therefore, since there was no way I wanted to entertain negative thoughts, I learned to watch my thoughts carefully. I wanted to maintain positive thoughts and know that God would get me anything I wanted. I was trained to believe, and believe I did. It's true that in the Word, Paul tells us to take charge of our thoughts, but that is not to channel them into our desires and will, but bring them under subjection to Christ. It took me a long time to learn that we can't begin to know what is best for ourselves. We must let God determine what is best for us, as only He knows. But that was not what I was taught. Led astray from the truth by the New Age teaching of unity, my parents explored many occult teachings, including reincarnation. Now, unity does not particularly endorse reincarnation, but allows for believers to consider that possibility for themselves. And we also bought a Ouija board and communicated with spirits, which I now know is demonic activity. In addition, we used to go out to UFO conventions held in a desert place in Southern California called Giant Rock and listen to people tell their wild stories of encounters with alien beings and sightings of alien spaceships. I even saw their manifestation myself. My dad claimed to have mentally contacted a being who agreed to show us his lights in the sky to a group my dad had assembled. Folks, I now know that those lights I saw were not of God, and I believe my dad was talking with demons. I know now that Satan is able to disguise himself as an angel of light and is more than happy to perform signs and wonders to lead people astray. I now believe my dad was delving and spiraling down into a dark spiritual realm that is eternally dangerous. My childhood and young adulthood was a nightmare that I didn't even know I was having. Because I trusted my parents completely and I did not think that they could err. I also know and can testify that even in the midst of all this madness, God kept me near to Him. There are some positive things that came from my New Age upbringing that is good when applied to Christian principles and the truth of God's Word. We practiced discipline of our minds and developed a strong ability to focus, resisting distraction. We learned to go after that which we believed and let nothing hinder us. We learned to not be alarmed by appearances or obstacles, knowing our minds could overcome them. Now, because of these mental disciplines, focused prayer comes easy for me. Fixing my mind on things above is a snap. Resting in the arms of my capable God is no problem. Walking in faith and not wavering in doubt is something I learned long ago. But it is so much more powerful when submitted to God's will in truth. Jesus told a parable about a dishonest manager who set about making deals with debtors. He longed to see God's people go after heavenly things with the same zeal that the worldly people go after carnal things. And I would like to see more Christians apply these principles and disciplines to their faith. If only we could all believe God's holy word instead of the unbelievers, mockers, scoffers, and doubters around us, or the TV, or the newspapers, and fear-propagating media. It's so easy to be deceived. And we allow ourselves to be deceived, you know. Well, around 1985... I was introduced to A Course in Miracles by my mom. I studied it intently for a year. Then, I'm sorry to say, my wife, Linda, and I taught classes in our home. I also taught it at a Unity church and even an adult night class in a school. Oprah Winfrey is introducing this occult teaching now to the masses through her subscription radio show. There is a lot of talk about it lately, and this is why Elida invited me to come to you today. I want to inform you as to what this course is all about. We won't dwell much on it. We want to proclaim it is a lie that it is, but we need not be caught up in fear and alarm. In fact, the church should be rejoicing because all of the attraction Oprah is seeing only proves that there is a great spiritual hunger upon the earth. The fields are white and ready for harvest. Now is the time for the church to step in and show the love and peace this world is starving for, the fulfillment only Christ can give. As Lida stated in that email, the course was written over a 7-year period by a self-proclaimed militant atheist. That part you didn't know. Helen Schuckman. She was assisted by a man named Bill Thetford. And one day she heard that inner voice say, "This is A Course in Miracles, take notes." And for 7 years, she heard a voice dictate to her that she identified as Jesus. As she wrote first what is known as the text, which is about 600 pages. And then she wrote the workbook, which is 365 daily lessons. And this is the workbook is what Oprah is currently going to be sharing over her radio show. Finally, she wrote the teacher's manual, which is only about 70 pages. When she was taking the dictation, she could be interrupted and the voice would continue exactly where it left off once the interruption was over. She did not agree with the teaching she was being given, as they did speak of God as real and dynamic. Remember, she was an atheist. Also remember, Satan believes in God. She once asked the voice, "Why her?" And the voice said, "Because you'll do it." The material is spiritual psychology. The voice identified itself as Jesus. However, the material does not acknowledge Jesus as God. It calls him an elder brother, nor does it give credence and value to the blood he shed on the cross for us. These are red flags for the Christian. It is vital that we all understand this. Jesus Christ, as the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, who by his shed blood takes away the sins of the world. It's the cornerstone of our faith and the test that every doctrine must be able to stand up to. We are warned that in these last days men will no longer endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap unto themselves teachers after their own lusts. 2 Timothy 4:3. And the cross is declared as foolishness in the course, which it always is to those who think themselves wise in their own eyes. I'm reminded very briefly of a study I just did of Obadiah and what happened to Edom, to the folks who were basically cut out in these rocks. They had cliff dwellings where no one could get to them, and they were high-minded and mighty and arrogant. They exist no more, folks. They do not exist anymore. And I just recently felt guided to read the shortest book of the Bible, Obadiah, and learned about Edom and how they're gone now. And Judah, Jerusalem, is still with us. Praise God. New Agers are notorious for their intellectual pride. The cross and suffering of Jesus is an offense to them. The idea that they are sinners in need of a Savior repulses them. The idea that does not God's Word declare throughout that this is so? And that is why Jesus is the rock that makes them stumble. Despite what Satan intended for evil by bringing the course into my life, let me say this. God used it for my good. It pleases our Lord to thwart the plans of our enemy by turning his own activities against him. And this is why we need not wring our hands in despair as this heresy seems to gain in popularity. Prior to my involvement with the Course, please understand, Jesus did not play a role in my life. I did not know him as my Savior, but I respected him as a teacher. I also did not know the Holy Spirit. My religion had been a purely intellectual one. Not that I'm that intellectual now, but at that time, I thought I was. My dad was. Anyway, my heart needed to be worked on. The Course material allowed me to begin to consider the reality of Jesus and his Holy Spirit, God's voice. For someone who was as duped in New Age teachings as I was very challenged by the material, and it did rock my boat. One of the workbook lessons says, "Nothing I see means anything." That went against my belief in affirmations, and in fact was a negative-sounding statement. But that lesson of the Course was trying to loosen my grip on trusting the appearances of this world as the reality. Over time, I did begin to see that nothing in this world means much in relation to heaven and God's eternal reality. Anyway, I did need to understand that. Too often, we let appearances draw us into fear, robbing us of our confidence in the Lord. And in the Word, Jesus admonishes us to not to judge by appearances. Truth can come at us from many sources, and even those which are carnal and incomplete. Didn't God use a donkey to bring rebellious Balaam to his senses? Even with the Course's refusal to acknowledge the work of Calvary and the deity of Christ, I did begin to love Jesus more. But I still didn't know him as my Savior. I also began to consider that God's Holy Spirit was the only viable voice I wanted to hear in this world. The Course called Satan the ego and suggested we needed to allow the ego to die in us, die to self, as the Bible puts it. The Course also logically led me into the belief that my judgments about what was going on around me were completely inaccurate due to my inability to be omnipotent. This is why we must rely on the Holy Spirit's voice and not our own inadequate one in order to know what to do in any situation. As I said, Jesus himself said not to judge by appearances, so that was an accurate teaching that Christians need to walk in. But the deity of Christ and the need for his shed blood was not upheld, nor was the sin nature of every man born under the curse of Adam admitted anywhere in the entire manuscript. In fact, the Course is antagonistic toward the necessity of Jesus' blood being shed for us. It is, therefore, a dangerously false teaching that jeopardizes human souls. It gives some truth, but not the whole truth. And when this happens, it is a key signature of the work of Satan. He has been deceiving by misquoting and distorting the Word of God since the beginning of time. Now, after many years of studying the Course, my wife Linda became sick with breast cancer. My whole world was about to fall apart. God began to turn my heart back to him because Linda, in her last days, had returned to traditional Christianity, and I didn't want to discourage that. We attended a Nazarene church and got baptized. I actually worked for that church. God was trying to get a hold of me. She was encouraged by Benny Hinn's healing ministry, so we attended as many of his services as we could, traveling to Southern California, Las Vegas, Montana, and more. She also loved Joyce Meyer and got on her prayer list. However, she continued to deteriorate, eventually dying in Austin, Texas, where she had gone for health therapy. After a time for healing, I began to search the Christian internet dating sites, and I met Eva. By then, I was living in Idaho. We communicated by phone many hours every day for many weeks. Eva said she was a Christian, and I assured her that I was also. I sincerely believed I was. Since A Course in Miracles uses the same terminology and teaches many Christ-like principles as the Bible, I spoke and behaved like a devoted Christian. The problem was, I was in truth very new in the Lord, with a lot to learn and still under the spell of a false doctrine. Watch God right now. Watch Him as I unravel this story. I had built a huge website of my Course in Miracles-inspired writings, and I even had a book I had written online entitled Wizard of the Wires. It had many far-out New Age concepts incorporated in it, whereas my other writing at the site had more of the soundness of God's truth as found in the Bible. I invited Eva to read my book, but though she could visit all the other areas of my site, she never could access my book, even though everyone else could. Later, I found out that if she had read that book, she never would have allowed our relationship to grow. And I believe that God withheld that part of the site from her because He had a plan for our lives together. One day I was sitting in my prayer chair in Idaho when I got the uncanny idea that I was to check to see what the requirements were for marriage in Indiana. I did check and I found the requirements were minimal, but what a strange idea. I hadn't even met Eva in person yet. With tears, I related this strange occurrence that evening during our nightly phone conversation, and from what I could tell, Eva broke down also crying. She said that earlier that day, the same notion came to her, and she laughed it off, certain that she was not hearing God. Although we made plans at that time to get married because we felt that God was arranging it, upon meeting her, I canceled out. But later we did as God suggested. I got home to Idaho, and I said, "Well, God, what do you want me to do?" And I told you, son. Oh. Our wedding at Celebration Worship Center in Georgetown, Indiana was our second time we saw each other. We both know ours was an old-fashioned arranged marriage by our Heavenly Father.
Don't try this at home. Not everybody do that.
Don't try this at home. I came into this marriage with a lot of baggage from my New Age days, including the Course in Miracles. Shortly after we were married, God urged me to take down my huge website of Course-inspired writings. Folks, this was a blow to me. I felt as if I were going to tear down me. I had become so ingrained in that website, putting so much time and work into it. And after Eva had gone to work one day, I sat in my computer chair and wept as I began dismantling it. I knew it was God's will, but it was very difficult to do. This was the beginning of God's dismantling of the towers I had built that were not His will for me. About this time, I had asked Eva to at least read the course for herself. She finally agreed, but as she read it, she pointed out its errors and showed me how it conflicted with Scripture. She urged me to read the Bible instead. That was when I began to face the reality that there really is a hell and many people really will go there, and it broke my heart. So first the physical website came down, and then my own strongholds, my own mental and emotional towers were brought down. Let me take a second to ask you, is there anything in your life that you identify with so much that God may want you to tear down? I believe I had made an idol out of the Course in Miracles, and my writing on that website was representative of worshiping it. We know what God thinks about idol worship, don't we? I was still in bondage to that old New Age intellectual pride. God cannot get through to you if you have built your life around anything other than Him. Think about it. What idols do you worship that might be limiting you to doing God's work? Is there anything occupying your time that could be interpreted to be an idol you are worshiping? This involves serious heart searching and honest heart searching. No, don't skip over that thing you just thought of. That might be it. Idols don't come down easily, and even though I did obey God and tore down my site and wanted to be a good Christian, I still enjoyed reading the course, and for a while took portions of it to read into the local woods nearby while Eva was at work, even though she had asked me to throw it away. One day, sitting on a log, I got the worst case of poison ivy Eva had ever seen. It was an oozing mess covering much of my body, eventually requiring some medical help. Sure laugh. You know, if God is dealing with you on a matter and you stubbornly continue on your path, He is merciful to give you a more persuasive warning. But I was still so hard-headed, and we can say hard-hearted, and A Course in Miracles had such a grip on me that I began to secretly correspond with other students of the course online. And I even set up what I thought was a secret email ability. Our God does not condone deceit either. So supernaturally, God revealed this deceptive practice to Eva. He told on me. Can you believe it? And yes, he did. And I sincerely promised her that I would remove all copies of the course from our computers and all books of it from my life. And I think you'll know that I did all that. God tore down the emotional towers I had built of the course as well. No aspect of the course would be allowed in my life, period. And I felt as if I were losing my God. And I was. He was being replaced with the real one, the God of the Bible. I received an insatiable appetite for God's truth and have studied the Bible, listened to sermons by sound preachers online every day since. It is my daily bread. I can't get enough of feeding on God's Word, and I get so excited about praying, communing with, and feeding on God's Word. I can't wait to get started in the morning. Are you hungry for Jesus Christ and God's Word? Is it the first thing you want to do when you rise in the morning? It should be. I appreciate Eva's patience with me as God guided me back into His arms, prodigal son that I was. A Course in Miracles really had a grip on me. And this is what cults can do. They can grip you in such a way. But always be open-minded to the truth that will set you free. God's Word and His Son and all that He did for us. God had a greater grip on me and pulled me onto the rock after my years of detour from the truth. And that detour began when I was 12, when my parents took flight, chasing after every strange wind of doctrine. It is too simplistic for me to say that the Course in Miracles should never have been a road I was to take. From my self-sufficient position, God felt it necessary that I take that journey. But He never wanted me to stay on that road. Also, I wouldn't be standing up here talking to you about it if I hadn't taken that journey. So the detour is being used for the Lord for good purposes. He wanted to bring me back to Him, back to my Christian childhood roots. He wanted me to take Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior and take His teachings of love and mercy seriously. So I urge you folks to pray that as Oprah introduces the course to millions of people, that they, like me, not stop there, but continue on into a true relationship with Jesus, the one who shed His blood for us on the cross. Truly, we must grasp God's reality through Jesus as He is revealed in the Bible. And this must be done on a personal level by each of us daily. In these last days, the deception will get worse. And the Bible says that even the elect will be deceived if that is possible. I warn you, if you don't know the Word, you are vulnerable to deception. And if you let anything have your heart over the truth of God's Word and the Lordship of His Son, you will be easily misled. If you don't commune with the Lord every day, you won't know His unique voice. I know that voice because it said, would you consider marrying Eva? What does it look like? I know that voice. Most of all, if the sin nature of man and the need for a perfect sacrifice to make atonement for us in the divine person of Jesus Christ is not your unshakable foundation and cornerstone, you will be without a sure standard of measure to determine a false teaching. Let's remember that God is always in control. He will thwart every plan of the devil, and God will even use this false teaching of A Course in Miracles for His glory. My life and testimony is evidence of that. I thank my Lord and I praise Him for bringing me through so much. And I know that He is able to deliver our loved ones out of deception if we will only pray. Prayer is so great. I would like to pray for just a moment. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for bringing me out of the deception of A Course in Miracles. I thank You so much for showing me Your reality as found in God's Word in the Bible. I thank You for showing me Your Son and what He did on the cross for us. And I thank You so much that You're not just a head religion, but a heart religion. I thank You so much for helping others recognize their strongholds, recognize what towers they have built that might be idol worship. I thank You, Lord, that You are indeed stirring in their hearts right now the desire to tear that down and worship only You, God. I'm just so grateful, Heavenly Father, for that everyone here has received what is needed to be received. And Lord, I thank You for helping me share exactly what needed to be said. Lord, I know You are not sitting there wringing Your hands over this. Lord, it will be used, whatever happens, will be used for Your highest good and to help people know You in their particular path, know You, and eventually know You as the Lord of the Bible, know You as You are revealed, Your wonderful revelation, the Bible. And that they will be able to see that the blood is not to be tampered with, and that the cross is not to be forgotten. And I just praise You, Lord, right now, as Your Spirit comes into this room, blessing everyone. And I thank You so much, Lord, for this time. I ask You to press in us as we press into You, Lord, and we remember You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.